Well, hello everybody. I hope you're doing well. This is Tuesday morning, God's Story, and it's pre-recorded. I am going to be out of town this week, and I wanted to personally do a God's Story live here just so that I can touch base with you guys, kind of give you an update and have it. I've got several God stories left and right coming from Bahamas. And since I've been there the last 2 weeks, it's been a learning curve. I've done a lot of things that I thought I had forgotten how to do, as far as a lot of administrative things, a lot of leadership skills kicked in that I thought I'd put away, but they seemed to pop up while I was there. But my main thing that while I was in the Bahamas, especially in Marsh Harbor, where it looks like Hiroshima, it looks devastating. The scripture out of Ezekiel 37 kept coming to me, and I want to throw this kind of in here as well. I can tell you, backing up, when the hurricane hit or started to hit the Bahamas, I knew there was something about it that was in my spirit. I didn't know the clarity of it until later, but I knew the Lord was going to send a message out of this. And the message is that God is about to allow His chosen ones, His those that are really following Him, those that want to do His will, He's going to start dropping us even more in some of the greatest intensities of valleys that no one really wants to go to. That's pretty much what happened when we went to the Bahamas. I was talking to even a dear friend that I went to go see as well, that, you know, not too many people checked up on him. Or some checked up on him and but didn't really do anything. You know, if we've got the power to do it, then we need to do it, you know. And I didn't realize what I was doing. I thought that any person would go down there and check up on those that they know. But some will be sent, some will go, and some will not, and some will stay back that need to stay back, and some will go that need to go. And the some that stay back have already been probably called to do dirty work, but a lot of us, you know, we like the clean work, we like the easy work, and some of us are out there, or, you know, they're setting up their own kingdoms, and that's good for them, but I really don't think it's really the work of God of what He's wanting to do. I don't want to get in the hands of God and stand before the Lord and tell Him all the stuff that I built for Him, because He really doesn't need our building for Him. He needs a willing vessel just to do His will. And that's what I'm hoping, that we all will come into a place to where we can lose our will, and anything that He wants to do, we do. And most of the things that I can tell you that God wants to do are not going to be glorious. That's why He says sometimes when you come to a table, sit at the lowest point and wait for the master to call you up. And most of the time, a lot of us in life, especially our Western world, we are taught to catch the biggest seat, you know, get the greatest glamour going, exaggerate the move of God, exaggerate what's going on in your life as though it's huge. And it's a subconscious way of training that makes us think that if we're getting to the peak and everything is great and there's a lot of energy and a lot of adrenaline flowing through it, that's the Lord. And I would challenge you to think a little bit differently. First, God Himself humbled himself. And made Himself of no reputation and came in the form of sinful flesh. If there's anything that starts there, is God will come in the most ridiculous packages, in the most humble packages in your life. It will not look like God. because of our the way that we've been trained, God looks like this glorious, wonderful, humongous, big thing. But I can tell you, we're about to see the big thing be the little thing. And that's what's happening, you know, in the background of what God is working on. He's trying to get folks to start listening to a still small voice instead of the big voice that's blaring out that makes God's ways this huge thing. It's broad. But most of the broad places and the most of the big voices that you listen to is not the Lord. They those type of things that are glittery, like having being in a king's court, they will lead you most of the time into a place of destruction. It's glorious for a while, but then later on you'll find yourself in want or in need. So God will come in small packages and lead you into a door that actually brings you a big package. But at first, we have to humble ourselves. In other words, not think the way that we've been taught and find ourselves walking like Jesus. And one of the things the Lord told me, even when this Hurricane Dorian, when it skimmed by the coast, the east coast of America, United States, is that he said, this is a warning. And I thought, what kind of warning? And he said, a warning to get yourself together and to start walking close with me. And I'll tell you, it reminded me of a storm that the disciples went through. They were crossing over in Matthew 8, and a storm came. You remember that? And the storm was, it was going to be big, but then the Lord, through the panicking prayers or the panicking voices of the disciples, they woke the Lord up and asked him to come or ask him to help, because they thought, God, you know, can't you see we're perishing? And God got up and, you know, calmed the storm. And of course he looked at them and said, hey, where's your faith? And man, they were kind of dumbfounded. And our faith should be really in the Lord. And if he's sleeping and if he's resting during a storm, so should we. But the thing about it is their faith was more in their fear than it was in the Lord and the way that he does things. It's because it was a real wake-up call. Listen, you've got to get close to me to understand how I do things. If not, the storms that come in your life are going to wipe you completely out. And that is true. If you don't build your home on the rock, which is Jesus, if you don't build everything around him and on him, when the storm comes, you won't be able to handle the storm. We won't be able to handle the storm that's coming unless we build our lives on the rock. And I think that's the warning, is that America has got to build their foundation on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. If not, the storm that is coming upon our waters and upon our land is not, we're not going to be able to take it. We won't be able to handle it. And I think we're in for a few storms coming upon America. I believe in the future we're going to have a financial storm. And if you're not, if you haven't invested in the Lord, you could actually just lose your mind with the things that are coming. I believe we're coming into a military storm in the future. And if, man, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't put your strength in the Lord instead of our military, you could lose your faith. There are several things that we have got to get, and that's actually walking with Jesus, walking closely with the Lord, because the Lord is about to allow his sons and daughters to really truly start walking in his power. And to walk in his power, he's going to lay us and put us and set us in places that are seem destructive, but he's wanting us to rebuild them. That's when you're not going to have feelings of euphoria. You're not going to have feelings of the presence of God like you do when you're worshiping or when you're in prayer or however you do. We do our secret place. Those places are there to actually refresh us and then send us back out. And then it be a place of strength to where it gives us the strength to be able to actually do what God has called us to do. When you're out there, you don't need the aura, the awe of coming on you. You need the strength of God. And when you have that strength of God, it's a different type of feeling. It's a different type of anointing that comes upon your life. It's to do the ministry, not to be refreshed by the ministry. And I think that's going to change. And I think we've got to start learning that as with the walk of God. So I want to throw out here a couple of things. As I was in Marsh Harbor and Treasure Cay and Cherokee and other places. Sorry. Ezekiel 37 kept coming to me. And I want to read it because I want to call it Understanding God in the Valley, because that's where we're headed. I know that there are a lot of things, there are wonderful things that are on that are going through the media, you know, and I know there's a lot of talk. There's even guys I know that are speaking every day as though the Lord is giving a new word every day. And honestly, I can tell you from my standpoint and from the things that I have to discern, if there's something new every day, it's bringing a lot of confusion to a lot of people. And I believe God is about to put us in order to where when he speaks, everyone will know that he is speaking and we stay on it. There are times and seasons of God that if you're walking with him, you'll understand that season and you'll be able to hear his word and be able to speak those things that he is saying for that season. And I think this season that we're coming into is we have got to start understanding the Lord, because there are many voices out there that are, and I told a friend the other day, I said, listen, if you're having to get on Facebook every day to share a word, God's not speaking that much. And we laughed, but it is true. It breeds more confusion than it does anything. And I believe God is trying to give us a pinpoint vision and preparation on what is coming and how to actually get ourselves ready. And the way you get yourselves ready is that we have got, and this is going to sound really strange, but we have got to start studying Jesus. We've got to start studying that person. If not, we won't have any answers and we won't have any stability in our own life. So here in this Ezekiel 37, there are hidden revelations of the Lord. And I want to go over them. I won't be able to go over them all. We're going to start them in Ezekiel 1. If you want to turn there, you can, and maybe go with me. So let's turn over to Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord came upon him and brought him out. In other words, the Spirit of God, something has happened in my life and it brought me out without me saying it's okay. It put me, and it says, and it set me down in the midst of a valley. Remember that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. One of the things I want to touch here is that if there's anyone that the hand of the Lord came upon during the most darkest times in our history, besides what's coming up next upon our land, not just in the Western world, but our Western world is getting very dark. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's very dark. There's a lot of things going on that is not of the Lord. They say it's of the Lord, that it's not of the Lord. There's a lot of things that are going on that are not of the Lord that everybody knows. But I think the main focus here is that we've got to use those distractions to get our mind back on Jesus. And so it says here, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it took him And it brought him out in the Spirit of the Lord, and it put him in a valley full of dry bones. First of all, I want to tell you this, is that you, if you find yourself in a dark place, if you find yourself in a valley, or if you find yourself around a dry place, it means the Lord has set you there. Now, your carnal mind will say that can't be the Lord, because the Lord feels like this wonderful euphoria feeling. He does. He does that. When that happened, he is actually giving you strength to get you ready to be dropped in the valley. And so when he drops you in that valley, that strength should already be there for you to use to change your situation, mm-hmm. and to change the valley. Is there something happened? Just the volume. She's changing the volume. All right. So remember that. When you're in your secret place, the euphoria of the presence is wonderful. It's great. There's a time of refreshing. But when there's a time of refreshing, that means it's almost like drinking water. That water is going to go down. It's going to feel really wonderful going down. It's going to refresh your body. But then it's going to refresh your body and infiltrate itself in your body. And then later on, you won't be able to feel it, but it is there. And then you can use it again when you go back out into the dry desert of this world. Same thing here. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon Ezekiel. He's already anointed. He's already a prophet. Remember that. He already walks with God. But now the Spirit of the Lord has come upon him. The hand of the Lord has come upon him. That's the first one. If you're in a valley, you're in a place of dryness, it means the hand of the Lord is upon you. If you can remember that, you will actually feel the hand of the Lord on your life if you choose to actually believe that your valley is the place where the hand of the Lord comes upon you. You've got to remember that. And I was going back to one particular person. If there's one particular person that first did this, was God. It was the Lord. He chose to make himself of no reputation, humble himself, and come in the form of sinful flesh. Then he walked the greatest valley ever walked, which is this earth, during that time. And so you can tell that, you can see even walking with Jesus and reading some of these scriptures of his walk, he didn't feel the euphoria that we've been taught that you've got to feel all the time, lest it not be the Lord. If you don't feel the euphoria of the presence of God, it can't be the Lord. Or if there's not a lot of adrenaline, if there's not a lot of happiness, you know, all of this stuff. No, there's other realms of the anointing. There's long suffering. There's patience. There's endurance. There's all these different types of the presence of God that can actually work in your life. It's not always going to be the way that we've been trained it should be, because if we're getting trained in just one area, you can miss some of the other characteristics of the Lord where he drops you in. And so here, we can see that this area of God, this place of God, the nature of God, he's dropping him in valleys, and the Spirit of God is about to change his mind to be able to see his valley completely different. But his mind is a little bit, you can see in this place, Ezekiel's mind is a little bit kind of confused, because you would think that when the Lord comes upon you, he would stick you in some wonderful church service or a big revival. You know, why would he put me there? It's because nobody else is going. Everybody wants to stay in euphoria, but nobody wants to actually do the work. And that's where we're headed right now. As real Christians, if we're going to be in the army of God and we're going to be a soldier of the Lord, we're going to have to actually allow the Lord to put us in a place of battle, and use the anointing that God has given us to win battles and to win this war. And so he sets him down in the valley. And the first step, the first place here, I'll just say it again. It says, this shows that if we are in a valley, most likely it confirms that the hand of God is on our lives. I want to throw this out. If some of you are in a valley and you are in depression and you've gone in for help, You've done all these things, and guess what? It's still not working. It's the reason it's not working is because the way you're seeing it is not the way God, and that's not the way it truly is. So you've allowed the enemy to actually come into your mind and actually show you something that is not really there. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's the enemy that's on your life that's getting you in that place of depression and things are not going right. But I'm telling you, the hand of God is on your life. And if you see it as the hand of the Lord upon your life, your mentality will see your situation completely different. Then you'll find yourself prophesying or actually saying and having the characteristics of the nature of God in the very place that you wanted to curse. Or the very place that you're saying, oh, the enemy's just on my life. I'm having so much warfare. You know, it's just so bad. Well, we're supposed to be in warfare. So rejoice when you're in warfare. Because God's not going to put someone in a place that, a real place that doesn't need any war, doesn't need a war one. If you're having warfare, that means the hand of God's on you. Think about that. And this offends the carnal mind because the carnal mind wants to be stagnant. It wants a nice, fluffy pillow place. But the Spirit of God, and it'll do like he did Jesus. It said the Spirit of God, as soon as Jesus got anointed from the Jordan, it says it drug him out into the wilderness by force. Think about that. It says it led him into the wilderness, but that word there, led there, is they forced him into the wilderness. So as he's walking toward the valley, as he's walking toward the wilderness, I'm sure his carnal mind, Jesus' carnal mind, was thinking, wait a minute, I just came out of the water, the Holy Ghost came upon me like a dove. Where am I going? I can't believe. And he just trusted the Lord and followed the leading of the Holy Ghost while his brain was telling him, turn back. This is not the Lord. Who would have thought that the anointing of God, when it first come on you, the first step is he takes you to the wilderness. Think about it. And so that's kind of the reflection of here. It says, then, when he says it's full of dry bones, then, this is, he's talking to about God, then he caused me to pass by them all around. He caused me, or you could say he made me look at them all around. In other words, he made me look at this situation. In other words, he kept me there. How many of you guys wanted to jump ship when the anointing of God, when you don't realize the anointing of God got you in that ship so that you can be that relationship that the ship needs? Isn't that amazing? So it says, then he caused me, you know, you could say he made me pass by them all around, and behold, he's thinking, my gosh, you're not going to believe it, but they were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. So he's making him look at this situation, and he's telling us the way he's seeing it. He's reflecting to the way the human mind will look at a situation when the hand of God is upon you. You will look at it as though, man, there's no way out of this. Man, it's all dry. Man, God's not here. There's no way the Spirit of God's ever going to move. He's saying, he's trying to describe it to you. And he says, and he said to me, watch this, and he said to me. So God puts him in the valley, makes him look at his situation the way he wants to see it. But then because Ezekiel knows that God has put him there, even though his mind is, you know, looking at it in a different way than God is, his ears are chosen to really listen to the Lord. And God said to him, son of man, can these bones live? Second thing, when God drops you in a valley, that's when God really wants to speak to you. If you'll look at your situation and then keep your eyes on the Lord, on what he wants to say, that's the time where God wants to speak to us. Because he's got you, when he gets you in a valley, when he gets you in a dark place, when he gets you in a dry place, that's when the ears have the opportunity to open to actually hear the Lord. It's not when you go into your quiet place. even though those are times for that. But those quiet places are for refreshing. Now God is wanting to speak to him as a soldier and a prophet, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to ask you a question. And man, everybody knows when he asks you a question, it means whatever you know is not going to be the answer, right? And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, oh, Lord God, you know. Oh, Lord God, you know. In other words, God is changing his mind to see it the way the Lord sees it. My second point here, it says, it also shows that he places us in valleys because he sees the power of life that he's placed within us to bring about change and restoration to the driest persons or driest places. Because he's putting his trust in Ezekiel. God's not putting his trust just in himself. He's putting his trust in Ezekiel. So he looks at Ezekiel because he knows what he's depositing in Ezekiel. So he looks at Ezekiel and says, can these bones live? He's waking up something that God has placed in Ezekiel, even though he's a little bit nervous. So anytime you're in a tough situation, it's because God's showing you, he's empowered you for that time. Please remember that. The enemy of this world does not want us to believe that. Most of us out there that are in a major situation, the enemy's telling you that is not true. I cannot do that. It's because you've taken the bait to look at your situation through the eyes of the world instead of the eyes of God. So your situation actually proves that God has given you the power to actually rule and overtake it and change it and restore it. And so that's what he's saying. And so I answered him, oh Lord God, you know. All right. One of the things I will tell you, again, when you're in your dry situations, when you're in your tough situations, keep your ears open for the Lord, not for the enemy, or not for your opinion. Your opinion and your flesh have been trained, and your feelings have been trained to look at everything negatively when you're in a bad situation. Your feelings have not yet been trained by the Spirit to look at everything wonderful when you're in a bad situation. And we can all agree with that. So when you're in a tough situation, your feelings will agree with the tough situation, and then your feelings will become bad, right? Right. But if you can start listening to the Spirit of what he says about your situation, about the situation God has put you in, say that with me, God has put me in, then your feelings have to start coming into order with God. And it's not going to feel good because your feelings will say, don't believe like this. This is just too hard. And just say, Lord God, you know. In other words, show me how you see it. What do you want to say in this situation? How do you want to act? What type of nature do you want to exude here? Because this is all new to me. My feelings are agreeing with what I think is bad. Let my feelings agree with the Spirit of God instead of my surroundings. My goodness, Jesus wouldn't have never gotten anything done if he'd allowed his feelings to cup and become one with the intense situations that he was always in. Always. Besides the times that he'd sneak away at night and pray at night by himself. Think about that. He was always in an intense moment in his life. And he had to obey the Spirit instead of his feeling. All right. Second part of this. We must be willing to listen to his heart in the time of intensity instead of our own opinions of things. We must listen. We must be willing. Say that with me. Willing. We must be willing to listen to His heart instead of our own opinion of things. When there's an intense moment, we must be willing to listen to His heart instead of our own opinion about things. Fourth, when God sees a dry place, He begins to think of breathing life upon it. Think about that. He doesn't label it as a negative thing. He sees it as an opportunity to breathe life. So God, if Ezekiel is being dropped here, that means God has been dropped here. So when God sees things, when He sees a dry place, He begins thinking of what type of breath He can put into it, what type of life He can impart into it. But He's got to find a willing vessel like Ezekiel, who is willing, even though he may be offended, to be dropped in the places that nobody wants to be dropped in. Nobody wants to go to a dry place. Everybody wants to have a huge revival. Everybody wants to have a great time inside of a building. But don't get me into an intense situation, because that's not when God really moves. But that's not true. God really moves in the intense moments of life. Let me read it again. When God sees a dry place, even in you, if there's a dry place even in you, God is already thinking of breathing life in that situation. But you've got to turn your mind toward that type of thinking and say, Lord, I accept your breath in this part of my life, in this mentality, this dry mentality of my life. You got to turn to Him. You got to repent back to His ways. And He's wanting to breathe life in the very place that you think that you're disqualified in within inside of yourself. All right? Remember this. He doesn't label things in a negative way. How many of you guys out there, you label someone instantly as soon as you walk up to them? Now God can't move. And a lot of us have been trained, oh yeah, He can move whenever He wants to. No, He needs a willing heart. He needs a contrite heart. In other words, He needs a broken heart. Someone that's broken to be so broken, that broken there, as far as I'm concerned, is someone who chooses not to have his own will, who is broken so that God's will can actually be done. So a lot of us, our will label it instantly because it doesn't want the breath of God to actually breathe through us, because it can't stand God's ways. Our opinion is the carnal mind. And so as soon as you look at someone that's in a bad state, or someone walks up to you in a bad state, you feel the negativity on them. And the first thing that happens is your carnal mind wants to agree with that negativity so that you can both can be negative. And so you instantly, inwardly label that situation and label that person. Now God can't talk to you. Now we will, at that point, we'll turn on our discernment gift when through our own will, and we'll start reading negative things about them instead of seeing what God wants to breathe life into them with. Amen. I've seen this time and time again. I saw something really strange and so simple, but when everybody had devastation in Marsh, nobody thought about religion. Nobody thought about Assembly of God. Nobody thought about a Baptist. Nobody thought about a Haitian. Nobody thought about a color. Nobody thought about anything but just helping one another. And we didn't realize, most didn't realize, that we were in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was moving. Why? Because we were back to our true foundation. Heck, Daryl Pender could feel God wherever we go. You'd have chill bumps come up on your arms sometimes when we're just helping people. Because we weren't thinking of all those blockages. None of that was in our midst. None of that was in our repertoire. It was just help this person the best you know how. Didn't matter what they believed. That's God. God was working through us, and we were no longer allowing ourselves to label people, God was working through us, and there were no labeling. It was just help the people. Don't try to change them. Just feed them. Don't try to expose them. Just cover them. If they're dry, give them a drink. Just give them a drink. Don't try to stuff things down their throat. Just give them a drink. If they're naked and they're, in other words, they're in a lot of sin, cover them. Just give them a covering. In other words, love them right where they are. If you're trying to change them quickly, you've already labeled them. Let love label them. Isn't it amazing? So we were all in the Spirit, but nobody even recognized it. Because we haven't been in the Spirit for a long time. A long time. We've been trained by formulas instead of the heart. Man, we're about to, God's about to wake up the heart of God in us. And it's going to be great. God sees a dry place. Let me give you this last one. It's almost an hour. Here's the other one. Just out of all of this, of what we've read. Let me read it again. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. When you like to get to a place to where you start seeing things that are dry and you know God wants to move. Instead of you having questions about it anymore, because you've had experiences with him, you already know what he wants to do because you've been walking so close to him. When you love to know the Father so well that when you're in a situation, you would just know what the Father would do in that situation. It sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Here's another one. This is the last one. I'll give it to you. When we look at deathly places or the most devastated people, we must see greatness and life. When we look at deathly places or the most devastated people, we must see greatness and life. Then we can release God's wonderful love within their lives or within that place. We'll care for it. We'll care for the situation. And when you care for the situation first, that's when you can change it. When you're trying to change it without care, you've missed the mark. You've missed the mark. Let me read that again. When we look at deathly places, or when you can see it, look at it as God when he looks at them, when he looks at these places. When we look at deathly places or the most devastated people, we must see greatness and life. And I can tell you this, you must see greatness and life even if it never changes. Even if it never changes. Let me say that again. Even if it never changes, you love, you see greatness, you see life. Most of us try to change things and we want to see change. Sometimes Isaiah never saw the Lord. He prophesied the Lord. But he spoke, he believed it. He spoke greatness. He spoke life. Many prophets didn't see the promise. But they saw greatness in life, and they prophesied. That's the way we've got to be. We've got to see greatness in life, even if it doesn't manifest, and live in that place of the Spirit, and long-suffer and have patience so that God can continue to move through us in the place of major valleys, major intensities, major darkness, major dry places. That's you and I. Get ready. We are going to be placed in these places. And I can guarantee you a lot of us, when God starts to move upon us, it's not going to feel like God moving upon us. It's going to feel like you were cheated. Why am I here? I can't believe I'm here. A lot of people, you know, I've seen God move, guys, so many times. I've seen God move so many times in my life, and then I see how the Lord, how the enemy will come in and steal it. When the Lord comes in at such simplicity, and all of a sudden the enemy comes in and goes, "Wow, this is God. Let's broaden this thing. I'll give you a deal. We got to make it, you know, through the airwaves, and we'll give you a record deal. Or I'll give you this deal." And man, you get thrown all these wonderful deals, and then they put out, and in the same words, it's like, man, this will be able to expand the gospel. And he offers you all these wonderful kingdoms when you had a small kingdom that could have changed the world. Don't take the bait. Stay in these places. Let God keep and use you in these places. Will he take you out? Yeah. There will be times where you will go through these situations. You'll go through certain seasons of warfare, certain seasons of trials. You'll face lions and bears. But if you'll wrestle them with the power of God, you'll come out in a place of refreshing. I'm telling you. Listen, it wasn't the funnest thing for David to wrestle a lion or wrestle a bear, and he overcame it. That wasn't like, my man, can you imagine a bear trying to attack you and attack your, and God come, God, you know that God has given you the strength to actually take that bear out. My goodness, if these days, if a bear showed up and you're watching over flock, man, we would say, well, the Lord's not here, I need to take off. He wrestled with him. In other words, he got his hands dirty. And God helped him with his strength inside of David. And he lived that way. And when it was time to face the giant, Goliath, he was ready. That wasn't going to be a problem. He'll just throw a stone at him, he'll die. He was just a big blowhard. Said a lot of words, but had no strength. So let the Lord drop you in the place. If you're in this place, if you're in this place of Ezekiel, if you're in this place of a valley, listen, do the first thing. Know that you're in the valley because you've got the hand of the Lord on you. Know that you are in the Spirit now. When you're in this valley, your brain has not been trained to see that you're in the Spirit when you're in this type of situation. But I'm telling you, you're in the Spirit. Second, say to God, "God, I know this is where you speak. You speak when there's intensity. You speak when there's a valley. I'm listening. What do you want to say in this into this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? How do you want to actually change? How do you want to restore it? How can I love this situation? Because if I'm here, you're here. Remember that. If you're there, he's there." That's where Ezekiel was. Ezekiel actually went where the Spirit was going. He had to go. So you can tell where the Spirit is, it's in the valley and with dry bones, a bunch of dry people. So if you're in a dry people, don't jump ship and say, "Oh, gracious God is not here, and man, nobody's paying me attention, and this church is not very good, and they're not making friends, and God puts you there to bring the wind. God put you there to bring the love. God put you there to bring the breath of life. How'd you like to have been Jesus hang around disciples that complained a lot? He didn't jump ship. He was the breath of God for those disciples. And so can you be for people that are around you. All right, guys. I hope this helps. We will continue in verse 4 the next Tuesday. We'll learn more things in the valley. I call it the valley of God, because the valleys are about to be the Lord. All right? Okay, grace to you. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for praying for us while we've been in the Bahamas. And we ask that you continue to support us, support the ministry, because it's growing. And support us helping those folks at Bahamas. They need all the help they can get. Our next stage is to actually bring skilled workers over there. So if you're a skilled worker, that'd be awesome. In the long run, we'll want to even send those that just want to pray for people and just be there emotionally for some of these that have gone through traumatic things during the storm. It's beyond words of what I can say that's happened to a lot of these people, mentally and physically. So, Lord bless you, and I pray that you will turn your mind back to the ways of the Lord, not to the easy things of this world. All right? Grace, grace. Bye-bye.